This is The Record with David Hyde. I'm Steve Scherr. Thousands of Venezuelans are in the streets today protesting in the midst of carnival season. At least 17 people have been killed in nationwide protests since the unrest began in February. Almost 900 have been detained by Venezuelan authorities. 30 are reportedly still behind bars. The country is torn in a bitter divide between supporters of the country's democratically elected president, a socialist, and supporters of the opposition movement, many middle and upper class. At the core of the dispute is the legacy of Hugo Chavez. Jose Antonio Lucera is the head of the Latin American and Caribbean Studies Program at the University of Washington. Thanks for being here.
Sure, happy to be here.
Why is Hugo Chavez at the center of this controversy since Hugo Chavez has passed away?
Hugo Chavez is larger than life, and I think events are showing that. He became really the dominating figure of Venezuelan politics. His election was a watershed moment in Venezuelan history, and he really has restructured the whole state-society relationship. So what's going on now is really a continuation of the opposition and Chavista dynamic that really started under his rule.
That dynamic, though, had seemed to be much under the surface while he was still in power. Is that wrong?
Well, it was very contentious. Venezuela is a very contentious place, and one of the things that's interesting about Venezuela is that it had a series of elections about either electing officials or approving constitutional changes. So Chavez was very eager to get the majority on his side through these kind of electoral means. What's interesting is that in 2007, the opposition wins for the first time and really shows that elections is a way to stop Chavismo. And that gives the opposition some hope that the ballot box may actually be a way to try to kind of put some obstacles in front of the Bolivarian revolution. So that's one tactic. But there's always been a more radical hardline element that's always been there and has often accompanied genuine grassroots discontent to try to push Chavez and now Maduro out a different way.
So who's the opposition? Break it down for me.
Currently, there's a bit of a split in the opposition. The candidate that stood as the opposition candidate, as the unified kind of coalition candidate, was a governor named Enrique Capriles. He ran, lost to Chavez in 2012, and then ran again against Chavez's hand-picked successor, Nicolas Maduro, lost by the thinnest of margins, 1.5%. That, though, was a huge improvement in how the opposition has done. So one way to read it is that Capriles wasn't able to do it, wasn't able to defeat Chavismo. Another way to do it is that in every subsequent election, the opposition did better and better. So Capriles tried to suggest that the electoral path was still a way to go, to broaden the opposition coalition and go beyond the elite and middle classes to try to put a dent in Chavismo's traditional urban poor, rural poor foundation. His main rival and friend is a more hardline leader named Leopoldo López. Now, López is almost the poster child of the people that Chavez and Maduro rail against. He is very wealthy. He attended prep school in Princeton, New Jersey. He has a graduate degree from the Kennedy School at Harvard. So he is almost emblematic of the class that Chavismo loves to rail against. Capriles and López have a difference in terms of tactics. So when the students' movement really erupted in February, López saw this as an opportunity to radicalize opposition, to bring more people in the streets, and to try to push Maduro against the ropes and, if possible, out of power.
So where do the students and their opposition fit in politically and then just in terms of their disruptive quality?
Well, this is a good question, because entering Venezuelan politics is a bit like entering a house of mirrors. Everyone is distorted in the mirror of the other. So for the government, the opposition are fascists and Nazis. For the opposition, the government is Castro, socialist, communist. So there's a lot of hyperbole going on. The students are definitely opposition. They're definitely critical of the regime. But there are some real problems in Venezuela regarding security, regarding inflation. The immediate catalyst to the student protest in February was the attack of a young woman, and students rallied around security issues and against free speech issues and the criminalization of protest. So there are genuine concerns that the student movements are bringing up. The issue, though, that gets complicated is that it becomes politicized. It becomes used by other opposition leaders as a platform for their own agendas.
Jose Antonio Lucera is head of the Latin American and Caribbean Studies Program at the UW. Jose Antonio Lucera studies social movements in South America and I guess also around the region. How does this movement fit into what's happening around the region?
Well, I think some folks may be a little bit confused because when we see student movements, folks in the United States may think about Occupy, may think about student activists in the 1960s. But what's different here is that what's going on here is fundamentally a socioeconomic class division. And most of the students come from middle to upper class. They're not the oligarchs that the regime says they are. They're not the fascists that the regime says they are. But they are not the urban poor that has been traditionally the base of Chavismo. Now, the region has seen a really interesting rise in student activism. Chile is a really interesting case, but there the student movement is located solidly on the socialist left. This is a different case where the social movement activity has a natural alliance with the right.
I mean, that's pretty fascinating. The students, does it say something about who gets to go to school in Venezuela, that this is a protest movement that seems allied with the opposition?
Sure. I think there is questions of educational access. Certainly there is an element of inequality. And one of the underreported things that is important to mention is that under Chavez and continued under Maduro, the poor actually saw real benefits. Poverty decreases by about 20 points in the last year of Chavez's rule. But still there is this problem of seeing the upper classes is doing better than the lower classes. And both sides take advantage of that division to kind of fuel the flames of political conflict.
Yeah, I read a quote from a protester saying, all they're doing is taxing us and sending all our money to Cuba. And that's the characterization that they give to the government.
As in everything, there's a bit of truth and there's a lot of hyperbole in what's going on. The truth is that Venezuela did become a regional power in Latin America, partly through things like Petrocaribe, providing very cheap oil for Cuba and other Caribbean nations. But what is harder to say is that everything is the fault of the regime. From the regime's point of view, they say that the rich are trying to hoard goods, they are taking advantage of the crisis, and they compare it to 1973 in Chile, where the elites and President Nixon tried to make the economy scream. So there are competing narratives about what's going on and who's to blame.
So this isn't necessarily a new conflict. There was 2002 coup, you had the oil workers' strike, you had a ballot box push against Chavez in 2007, like you said. What's brought it to a climax now?
That's a great question, because one of the interesting things is that Maduro won an election last year, so he was elected even though it was a razor thin margin. In December, there were municipal elections, which everyone said were going to be a referendum on Chavismo. Maduro's party, again, overwhelmingly won. So he's coming off these two electoral bumps. Now they're getting legitimized. That's the currency that the opposition does not want the regime to have. I think what's going on is the opposition is trying to find another way. So often they'll refer to Maduro not as president, but as el ilegítimo, as the illegitimate.
When is the next election?
Well, there are six-year terms, but one of the things of the Constitution is it allows a recall referendum after 3 years of an official's rule. So in 2016, Maduro said, if you guys want me out, get the signatures, 20% of the electorate, and you can try to get me out of the ballot boxes.
Jose Antonio Lucera studies social movements in South America. Venezuela has a lot of oil reserves. What role is oil playing in this?
Well, oil seems to play a role in everything in Venezuela. And one of the structural effects of having all that oil, though, is what economists like to call Dutch disease. It's had a very uneven impact on the economy. So one sector has gotten a lot of revenue, and other sectors have been really underdeveloped, which has caused massive distortions. Plus, many people claim there's been a bit of mismanagement, questionable priorities of how to use that oil wealth. And so it's given people some ammunition to talk about the inflation that's going on as a result of this poor management of a very rich country. That said, the elite have often done very well. In fact, one of the images that's being sent through Twitter right now is an image of a car with a message that says, Maduro is starving us to death, but the car is a Hummer. So it's this kind of sign that, you know, the elite have had more than enough of the access to the oil wealth. Now it's time to redistribute it.
Except that's what Chavez tried to do, right? He argued that we need to redistribute the wealth. So are the poor still backing him, or has that approach been coming into question?
They are still backing him. Even Maduro, who is no Chavez, you know, he doesn't have the charisma that Chavez did. Still, the last polls that I've seen give him around 40% backing. And most of that does come from the poor. And most of that comes from the fact that the poor don't really see an alternative to Maduro, because they feel that Chavez, whatever his faults, he really cared about them. Because up until Chavez, Venezuela had been divided between two ruling parties by design. So what happens is this is a very restricted, limited democracy that leaves the vast majority of Venezuelans on the sidelines. Chavez brings those poor people in And he was the first person to really do that in Venezuela. And that continues to provide a really solid connection with the poor and with many who saw themselves on the outside.
Jose Antonio Lucera is the head of the Latin American and Caribbean Studies Program at the UW. You know, if 17 people had been killed in protests in the United States, governments would be in turmoil. What do you see happening here?
Well, there is turmoil. You know, the loss of life is always lamentable, but some of the mainstream coverage has also tried to characterize this as a civil war, and that's also an overstatement. This conflict is regionalized in particular states and in even particular parts of Caracas. Not all Caracas is up in arms. So I think that people are concerned, but this is not a Ukraine-like situation. This is not a place that it's on the verge of civil war. So I think we need to be very cautious about how we think about the conflict that's going on right now in the streets and between the political elites.
And how do you think about it?
Well, I think about it as divisions on both sides. You have the opposition trying to figure out which tack to go, the Capriles route of trying to increase the coalition. He said very publicly that unless we get the barrios, unless we get the poor involved in the opposition movement, it's not going to go anywhere. Whether it's going to go that way or whether it's going to go the more hardline route of the Lopez is one thing that remains to be seen. The government, on the other hand, needs to figure out how to have real dialogue. Maduro has made some overtures to bring people in, but very much on the state's terms. And these are offers the opposition can easily refuse. And Maduro has also done what Chavez always did, what many leaders on the left always do, and that's to pick on the United States. Maduro has asked for high-level talks with Obama, which is crazy. Obama has really nothing to do with the conflict right now, despite the fact that ambassadors have been expelled, consular officials have been expelled. This is really for a domestic constituency. Maduro, I think, needs to recognize that there are legitimate student demands, there are legitimate opposition demands, so find a way to really calm the waters a bit and have people come to some kind of political conversation.
Jose Antonio Lucera is head of Latin American and Caribbean Studies Program at the UW. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Happy to be here.